The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.
Hello and welcome to the Truck Driver Podcast. It's Matt Ireland once again, and today I'm joined by Tomasz Oreniski. Is that right?
Tomasz Oreniski, yes, it was pretty close.
You have to excuse my Polish is pretty poor, unfortunately, along with a lot of my language skills, typical Brit, I guess. So I do apologise. So, Tomasz, how are you and where are you?
I'm at home in Helsinki, where I moved after nearly 18 years of living in Scotland.
Yep.
I'm at home because I'm currently unemployed. This is a long story, but I had a car accident and I just recovered. And I've been to Ukraine to drop my car off, and now I'm looking for a new job, basically.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So how did you become involved in truck driving? Was it a family connection or just something that you've always wanted to do, or how did you get into it?
Not really. I don't have any trucking connections in my family, although two of my uncles were rally drivers. One of them was even champion of Poland in the 70s, 80s, something like that, in rallies and in something like hill climb, the mountain racing.
Yeah.
And when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I was hitchhiking a lot, like all over Poland, all over Europe. And I loved being on the lorries. And I've been thinking maybe one day I could do it. But like my plans were to go somewhere else. I studied first in the railway college. Then I studied astronomy and physics for a while. I wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And while at the university, I've been doing every odd jobs as students do. And my friends had a small company which was manufacturing something involving metal, and they needed to send some bits, oversized bits, to be galvanized to the city, like 200 kilometers away from our home city. Yeah. And they were complaining to me how expensive it is because it was like year 2001 and like the courier services in Poland weren't strong yet. And the prices were just crazy. I was like, really? I had this old car, like Fiat, Polish Fiat 125P.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I got LPG tank. I drive for pennies. I can like deliver that for you for half the price of what you pay for courier. And
yeah,
that's basically how my driving career started. So we did that a few times. Then they bought a small Ford Courier van.
Yeah.
And I was driving that for them, like on occasions, not full time, but just some odd runs here and there.
Yeah.
And then during holidays on my university, as we were already in European Union, I went to Scotland for the summer to earn some money. And I landed in the job when I was driving a Sprinter van for a laundry company, visiting all these beautiful B&Bs in Scottish borders. And my route was taking me all the way almost to Newcastle, to Morpeth or somewhere.
Yeah.
Through like Scottish borders, Howick and everywhere. And then I was heading back along the coast, like Alnwick, Bramborough and Dunbar. And it was fantastic. I fell in love in Scotland and I also enjoy driving. So I've decided after I finish my studies, I will do my like lorry license and I will come to Scotland and we will drive a lorry for a year or two and then I will become a teacher. And of course, that never worked out. So I become a lorry driver because it was just too nice with everything.
Yeah, fair enough. So you went back to Poland to do your truck test.
Yes.
And we've discussed this before, haven't we? So the Polish driving test is, again, slightly different to the British one. As we were saying before we started, my good friend Rob Alguera was a previous guest on the podcast. He teaches in the Netherlands. I do ad hoc teaching in the UK for student drivers. So one interesting variation you said about in Poland is that although the examiner won't set you up intentionally for a fall, you do have to observe all the road signage and weight limits and restrictions and things like that, whereas in the UK we don't quite have to do that necessarily, depending on where you are. Well, the companies I've worked for have dispensations for training and testing, so an examiner can take you through a weight limit and it's not going to be an issue on your test. But you were saying, like, the examiner might say take the next right that you can, and you might see a weight limit. So if you do turn down that, you'll actually fail your test, won't you? Is that right?
Yes, I failed my first test that way because the rule is that when examiner tells you nothing, you should go straight ahead when possible. And yeah. I went straight ahead and was 9-ton limit, and I failed. He slammed the brake and said, no, we have to go right here.
Yes.
That's fail for you.
Damn. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but, well, I'm quite heartful about this opinion that it's popular in Britain, that British drivers look down on Polish truck drivers. And there's this myth that in Poland you can get a lorry license if you drive a farm tractor and some crap like that.
Yeah,
of course, it's not only not true, but I will dare to say that Polish tests are much more challenging than British ones, not only for what you just mentioned, but also before you even are allowed to go on the road, there is this maneuvers on the parking of the training center, examination center. There's this traffic cones, and you need to do like parallel parking and reversing into the like kind of bay made of traffic cones, and going forward and backwards on the bend between very narrow traffic cones, like 3-point turns, starts on the hill. So you need to train for all of those.
Yes.
And then when I was doing my C license, you had to do all of them.
Yeah.
Then they change it, so it's just a random two, I think.
Like right, okay.
There's always the going over the bends, and then you just you are given two other at random.
Right. Okay.
And because I did my C license in, which is class 2 for British listeners, in 2006, and I did my C plus in 2021 because I always had such a nice jobs with just C that I never saw the need to upgrade up to percent.
Fair enough. So did you actually get any driving experience in Poland before you came back to Scotland to fulfill your dream?
Not really, although I had two adventures. One, a friend's friend purchased old military lorry Star 266, which is actually a brilliant off-road lorry.
Yeah.
And he hoped to build a camper, expedition camper on it, but he hasn't had his lorry license yet. So my friend asked me, like, can you drive this from this like military lot to his place? So I drove it, then I presented him with a bill for fuel, and that was the end of his idea of making that into expedition camper. And the second situation was I visited a friend in a small village.
Yeah.
And in Poland, we have something called like volunteer fire brigades.
Okay.
They usually get, sometimes the local governments buy them brand new spanking fire engines.
Yeah.
But most of them are using like old second-hand decommissioned fire engines, which used to serve in the proper fire brigades.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are really ancient.
Yeah,
because it's also a hobby for those guys. They cherish them, they renovate them, and they keep them in running condition. And we were passing by, and there was some barn on fire, and the fire has ended, and they were just pouring water so it doesn't reignite again. And my friend started to chat with them because it's all, you know, guys from their village. And they said, oh, we have this problem because our driver went home because of some like problem with his baby, and there's no one now to drive the fire engine back to the station. And my friend was like, Tomasz here, he has a lorry license. I was like, of course, you know, I had my lorry license for 2 weeks or something back then. So, yeah, of course, I will drive that for you. And this was, I think, Star 21 or whatever from like 1963 with crash gearbox and everything. Oh, my God, I like made such an idiot of myself because I had no idea how to drive this. And was like, no power steering. Eventually made it, but yes, I think they still remember that.
I expect the gearbox does as well. Something very different that is, isn't it? So you came back to Scotland. Was finding work quite easy, or was it quite difficult?
back then, it was brilliant. I signed up with Driver Hire in Glasgow, which are brilliant guys. I'm still friends with them.
Yeah.
And back then, it looked that they were calling me every day and they were offering a range of jobs for the next day to pick from for me.
Yeah. Okay.
That was so many jobs. I spoke barely any English back then.
Yeah.
You can hear from how I'm talking because I never learned English in any organized way. It's all as I was speaking on the way. So while I'm able to read and tell everything I want, I do a lot of grammar mistakes because I never went to any proper English course. Oh, I was just picking it up as I was going from these jobs. So yeah, I started with like removals on 7 half-toners. Then they like started to give me more responsibility, better jobs. And I've been with them for about a year, I think, maybe less.
Yeah.
And then it was a funny story because I saw this very funky lorry on the Clydesdales Expressway. It was DAF CF, which was like as short as a tractor unit with box van on that, with a sleeper on the roof. And it said like, Hebrides haulage on that.
Yeah.
And I went home and I went on Google, what is that Hebrides? I never heard about it.
Yeah.
And I found that those are those islands like on the west coast of Scotland, and they are beautiful. And I was like, well, I would like to go there one day.
Yeah.
And very soon after, I got a job offer from them.
Really?
And I started working with them. Yeah. So that was my first proper job, non-agency job in Scotland.
So were you actually based in the Hebrides, or were you based?
No. I worked in Glasgow Depot.
Yeah.
I worked there in 2007.
Yeah.
Then I changed a job that didn't work well. Then I went to the university, graduated in 5 years while still doing some odd jobs and agency shifts. And then in second part of my university, I started working for this courier company when I was driving Sprinter vans all over Europe in this time critical air freight deliveries.
Yeah.
And then after my studies, I decided I'm now a graduate, so I need a proper job. I started to work in the office. I hated it. I submitted my notice, and then on the last day of my work, I went on Facebook because I didn't care anymore if they are looking over my shoulder or not. And I found that Hebrides haulage are looking for part-time driver.
Ah.
I called instantly and I said, Mardo, I want to work for you again. And I was the best career move ever. I was with them for another 5 years.
Fantastic. Now, if I remember rightly as well, during your time at Hebrides was the first time I ever saw your name, because you did write an article for Truck and Driver about
one of your trips,
didn't you?
Yeah, actually, they wanted to interview me, but because I'm also a freelance journalist and I wanted to have a byline in English title, yeah. I asked them if I can write it myself. And it's a funny story because the editor changed the title.
Right.
And they give the title The Local Hero. And I was feeling so bad about that because it's like, they call me a hero. I'm just a lorry driver. That's ridiculous. And only later I learned about this classic movie, Local Hero. And that's why the title came from, because
right.
I went there and I fell in love with people and the area. So that's the funny story here.
Yeah. So did you get to cover most of the Hebrides and the Scottish Islands with them?
Well, they don't. They got like a cooperation with other companies, so they don't go themselves to every single island.
Yeah.
But I've been lucky. I was this like relief driver or whatever you call it. I haven't had like assigned routes. I was like covering holidays, doing some extra shifts, like covering sickness. So I've been everywhere on the West Coast, from Campbelltown to Darness and Wick and Northern Coast as well.
Yeah.
And I've been going regularly to Isle of Bute, to Eustis and Benbecula. I've been to Barra a couple of times.
Fantastic.
And sometimes I was also based on secondment in Skye Depot, which is just next to Dorney, to Ivindonan Castle.
Yeah.
And from there, I was covering Skye. I've been to Rasay a couple of times, and then the northwest Scottish Mainland, which is just beautiful and fantastic place to drive. So,
yeah,
I've been lucky that I've been pretty much everywhere they go, except for the Harris and Lewis themselves, because that served from Stornoway depot, and I was based in Glasgow depot.
Right, okay, fair enough. So you're there five years, clearly covering a lot. So where did you go next when you finished there?
Well, I upgraded to C+C because the things that, you know, Brexit and all the things that were going in Britain, we were thinking with my girlfriend, maybe we will move to Finland. And like a few years back, I've been offered a PhD in Finland. Nothing ever came out of it.
Right.
But we were talking sometimes from time to time. Finland seems like a nice country. Maybe we will move there one day.
Yeah.
And as like Brexit started to make things difficult in Britain, I also somehow lost the love for Scotland after I being assaulted on the racist grounds.
Right.
And I went to Poland. I did this C+C because in Britain it was impossible due to COVID. All the tests were suspended and everything. And
yeah,
in Poland was still working. So I did them in Poland. Passed first time with not a single mistake.
Congratulations.
I'm always happy to brag about that. And then I decided, because in Hebrides College there isn't much driving without a trailer, because like trailers are only on trunk roads and they have like designated drivers that do it every night.
Yeah.
And I needed some more experience, so I left and I started to do some freelance work with some friends and also some shifts from various Glasgow agencies. I did some tanker driving with a whiskey, some trunking to England, some long distance driving to London and England, local multi-job, like whatever I could put my hands on to get as much experience as I could. And we were still thinking if we will go or not. And then my girlfriend was desperate. She couldn't find a new job and she was not happy in her work.
Yeah.
So she told me, what if I get, like, put on LinkedIn that I'm ready to work in Finland? And she did that. And long story short, one day we learned out that we have 5 weeks to move out.
Wow.
to Finland. So I had to drop everything and went to Poland, where I have a van that was in process of being converted to a camper.
Yep.
Which 3 years later, it's not finished yet. and we just moved. And we are living in Helsinki since 2022.
Yeah. Excellent. And Helsinki is a fantastic city. If people haven't been there, it's I mean, Finland in general is a wonderful country. It's well worth a visit. I used to love my time getting up there. Generally speaking, I'd only go to Helsinki. I've been to Tampere and a couple of other places that I can't think of off the top of my head. But even in the winter, you know, with all the snow about, and especially the ferry crossing that we used to get, I'm going to make a horrendous noise when I say Kapellskär, because that's how the British say it, but it's nothing like that, the ferry port in Sweden that takes you across to Finland. And in the wintertime, when the sea is frozen, you're going through all the frozen ice, it's just stunning. It's absolutely
and beautiful. You go through the archipelago, like, yes, Åland Islands, and then Turku archipelago. It's one of the most stunning ferry journeys,
really. Oh, it's
this is my on par for me, this one and the one from Åland to Castle Bay or Lohopoisdale.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the two most beautiful ferry crossings I've ever been.
Oh, definitely. I got lucky enough. I contacted Finlink and asked them if I could film a time lapse of the ferry doing the journey, and they allowed me to. So when we got on board, went up and met the captain, set my camera up, left it running all day, and because when we departed, it was actually pretty misty, and I was thinking, oh, this is going to be rubbish. You're not going to see a thing. But as we sort of got going, the mist cleared, and it was just, oh, it's just a fantastic. I was so pleased with the results of that. It's on my YouTube and I think possibly on my Facebook as well. It's just one of my favourite videos I've ever managed to make. So did you find any work in Finland as a truck driver?
Yes. My first work was very short and terrible, because I ended up in the cowboy company, and I don't know if I should tell you the name, but they are
bankrupt
anyway. So I've learned later that the business model is to pick up the newcomers who don't even understand yet how Finland works, like rip them off and throw them away. I met at least two other drivers who were ripped off by them. Luckily for me, my standards are so high that I refuse to take a lorry on the run to Denmark, because the trailer's diesel tank was hanging down on rotten straps.
Yeah.
And I refused to do that. And the boss told me, basically, either you do it or get to fuck. So I picked the option two, hang up my keys and went home.
Fair enough.
Luckily for me, they only owed me like 500 euros or something. So I cut my losses short.
Yeah.
And then I ended up with LTP Cargo, which is a local food distribution company. So they run all these fridges. And I have to say, it's a great company to work for.
Yeah.
Maybe all the companies in Finland are great compared to my experience from Britain. We can talk about that later. But it was really the best company I worked for us. If we talk about how the office staff is treating you, how good quality PPE and clothing you get from them, how they react to all your reports about any defects on the lorry.
Yeah.
But it was also the most boring job I ever had, because I was going to one warehouse, loading my trailer with the electric pump truck, then driving 20 minutes to other warehouse, dropping it off, loading it with the empty boxes, heading back, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that was not my kind of a job, but it was a good beginner job. And it is actually a fairly beginner's company, I can say, because there is quite a few foreigners who don't speak Finnish as I did. And also there is plenty of young boys who ended up there just after the army, when there's still national service in Finland. So got plenty of young boys who got their lorry license in the army and then go there. It's their first civilian work. Company is great, job not my kind of, like, not my cup of tea, to be honest.
Yeah.
So when I've seen other opportunity to drive tankers all around Nordic countries, I jumped at it. I left LTP on my own will, and I hoped to start this tanker job. But then that never worked out. And I've learned later it was because Finland closed borders with Russia. And the borders is still closed, and rightly so, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And they had some drivers who are still going to Russia because they carry some very specialized chemicals, and this is not sanctioned.
Right.
So as the border was closed, that part of business was shut, and those drivers who worked for them for years had to be put on other jobs.
One
of the jobs was, like, happened to be the one I've been promised. So I was left hung out to dry, and the unemployment was terrible, like millions of Finnish drivers were looking for a job because they were in a similar situation due to this border closure.
Right.
So with my crappy Finnish, like barely any Finnish really, I had no chance competing with those guys. So I signed up as unemployed because I already like earned my rights to claim unemployment benefits from my trade unions. Which was very generous, I have to say.
Yeah.
And the unemployment service sent me to a full-time Finnish course.
Okay.
So for next year, I've been going to school for 5-6 hours per day learning Finnish. I'm still far away, but I can hold very basic conversations. I'm told I'm on B1 now.
Yeah,
I love the language. As for a Slavic speaker, it's, I would say, in many ways, it's easier than English because pronunciations is easier. The rules are more consistent. There's not so many exceptions as you have in English, or we do have them in Polish. Some of the grammar constructions, which are scary for an English speaker, are familiar for us.
Yeah,
because in Slavic language, we also have the same similar grammar constructs. And yeah, I really do like the language. And after the course has finished, now there's high unemployment in Finland, and the market is very small. So there's now like almost 13% of unemployment. So it took me 3 months to find a new job.
Yeah,
I found this job in a removal company, but I was mostly to drive 18-tonner between company depots in Helsinki, in Germany, and in Spain.
Yeah.
So I worked for them for a week doing some local holidays, local removals, and then I took a couple of days holidays to visit Poland because my dad had 80th birthday.
Yeah.
And on the way back, a drunk driver crashed into me.
Oh, God.
And Initially, I felt okay. I drove back to Helsinki, and then it turned out that I got cracked spine, so I ended up with a neck brace for 3 months. The job was, of course, as good as gone because they couldn't wait for me. Yeah. I had to get someone else for this task.
Yeah,
I've been recovering for 3 months, and now I'm looking again. So that's basically all my work experience in Finland so far.
Flippin' heck. I mean, just going back to the language for a moment, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, the closest related language to Finnish is actually Hungarian, I believe.
The closest will be Estonian.
Oh, Estonian.
Hungarian is the same family, but Estonian will be closest.
Right, okay, which seems so strange to consider how far away Hungary is from Finland and Estonia. It seems so strange that they're so closely linked as such. But that's just a little offshoot there that we didn't need to talk about. But
I think it's because those like tribes or whatever they were called back then, they wandered into Europe from east.
Yeah.
And then like some went north, some went south, and that's how it happened.
Yeah, fair enough. And one other topic that we quite often message each other about is quite a hot topic in the UK still as well, isn't it? It's the 3.5-ton vans and what people get away with. So I'm hoping you might be able to shed a bit of light on matters, especially from the Polish end, with these vans that are clearly overweight and just running about day and night. But they're in a different category in Poland, aren't they, slightly?
Not really. You know, I'm personally really angry at this topic because I had this really nice, cozy job for Always Fried Solutions, driving the small vans, going to these wonderful places and being paid really decent money. And
yes.
I love this job. But then European work dried away because the Polish vans started to like undercut the prices, overloading the vans. And say we had a customer who was regularly sending 1.6 tons of cargo to some other part of Europe. So it was obvious for him that for 1.6, he needs 2 sprinters. And then some Polish company came and said, like, we will do it half price for you. We will put it on one. And, and you know, and so bloody Poles came and stole my job, basically. but those standards are terrible. And in Poland, until recently, now it's slowly changing. But the thing is that a van up to 3.5 ton is considered a car for many purposes.
Yeah.
Including overloading. So if you overload your car, the maximum fine you can get is like 500 Polish zloty, which is less than 100 pounds, I think.
Wow.
If you overload your lorry, then you talk serious money, serious penalties. Yeah. You can lose your license and everything. So many dodgy companies, instead of like buying 7.5-ton trucks, or they even buy 7.5-ton trucks.
Yep.
And then they downplate them to 3.5 tons, which is sometimes silly because sometimes they weigh more when they are empty.
Yes.
And they just run them and they are constantly overloaded. If they are stopped, they have to pay 500 zloty, a fine, which they are not stopped too often. So it's probably even still cheaper than you know, obtaining proper license and doing things properly.
Doing it properly, yeah.
And of course, drivers got in trouble, but there's so many Ukrainians that you just like discard them and get a new one for the same van. And this business was a really big trouble. I heard that this is now changing slowly. There was some upgrade to a ticketing system and it's not so easy. And now with, of course, new European rules when even those vans will have to have operating licenses and tachographs and everything.
Yeah.
I think that will be the end to this madness. But
hopefully.
Yes, that was a big problem. And it's still a big problem in Poland. When I've been in Poland recently and I saw some guy delivering drinks on a Lublin van, which I think has like 900 kilograms payload, and you got like three pallets of Coca-Cola on the back. So,
I think one of the best ones you sent me was, I think it was an Iveco daily refrigerated van with a tail lift. Was it that one?
And Freiburg Cup, They stopped it and it was like 3.9 tons empty and yet it was registered to 3.5.
I think it's 4.5 tons empty, I think, or something crazy, but yeah, it's just...
Maybe, but the record so far I saw from this like Polish equivalent of DVLA presser pots was 11.8 tons on Iveco daily registered to 3.5 tons. It's a pathology and it's terrible. And also, you know, these drivers, they sleep in those roof boxes for weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And they used to. Now that also changes.
Yeah.
And they drove for hours without sleeping. And I even once made a viral article because I've read an article in the industry portal for this van, European van business. It was some interview with a girl who is driving this van, and she was saying like, I drive for like 28 hours straight and I already learned I can make sandwiches when driving. And
God,
I wrote about that and that went viral, and there was some story about that even in the mainstream media after that.
Yeah.
So that is changing. But also, you know, the Polish drivers, they started to respect themselves more. So we don't slack the Polish drivers all the time. Like those van companies, they now struggle to get the driver unless they got this back sleeper spoiler cars. Like nobody wants to sleep in the coffin on the roof anymore.
No, I don't blame you, to be honest.
Yeah, but still, like, again, British people who look so down on Poland. I used to live in Cambuslang or the outskirts of Glasgow, and just across the river from me, there was this, how you call that, parcel force.
Yeah.
And these express vans were parked there, and the drivers were sleeping across the seats on the busy road. During the day, in the sun, in the frost. Like during the frost, they were running engines all night because they had no night heaters. So, you know, British people look down on Poles, but some of the British drivers are ready to endure much worse conditions than many of the Polish companies offer.
I keep thinking that those days are long gone, but they are still kicking about here and there, aren't they, unfortunately? But, you know, it's sometimes people are desperate for a job, I guess, and maybe a terrible job is better than no job. I don't know, but it shouldn't be happening. But there's always somebody who's going to take a chance, isn't there?
Yeah, but we shouldn't agree to that. And
no,
as I compare now, like Finland to Britain, I can see the power of trade unions, like the transport trade union, the drivers, AKT, they are called. They are one of the strongest trade unions in the country. They got like significant political power, and you can see that in the way how drivers are treated. So see that first job in this distribution, the food distribution company.
Yeah.
You know, with all these young drivers, and it was really a beginner's job. I realized that I make on average more than in my last job in Scotland, which was agency ADR tankers night shift.
Yeah, wow.
So my hourly rate, like if we include all the additions, because it's constructed slightly differently, but if I like divide the amount of money I get per amount of hours I did, I was earning more in Finland in this beginner's job than I used to in Scotland. And the quality of my work shoes, I was like shocked when on the first day of work I got like full high-vis trousers, a jacket and polar, gloves of the highest quality and boots. And I've been working in Britain for many years. If you're lucky, you will get some tatty high-vis jacket in most of the companies.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe, so I've checked and I found that they gave me like the PPE worth several hundred euros on day one.
Wow.
You know, it was a shock.
Yeah.
Then also the hours. So the standard for drivers is that you should work on average 80 hours per 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Per 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you can work more 1 week, but then less the other week. You know, if you go to any of the British truckers forum and you listen to truckers talking, there's this recurring motif when they say, oh, you can make decent money in trucking. You just have to put your hours in.
Yeah.
I was shocked because when we started, I got this girl. Her name was Kia, and she was like my trainer. So she was introducing me to how the company works. We drove around together, so we were able to do more hours every day. And then we worked together Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And on Thursday, when we returned to the depot, the boss said, okay, you got Friday off because you already did more than your 40 hours.
Wow.
You know, it was a shock for me because in Britain, like, they would squeeze if you work too well, they will add some extra drops, extra collections of you. Here, no. There's plenty of guys who do slightly longer shifts. By slightly longer, I mean like 10 hours.
Yeah.
So they work, for example, 4 days a week.
Yeah.
Because of that. And then because Saturdays are paid 150% and Sundays are paid double. There are some guys who work only weekends and they earn about the same money. So it is brilliant. And Finland does not have minimum wage embedded in law.
Okay.
Every industry, they sat together every year, like employees, trade unions, and the government, and they set up the mutual agreement.
Yeah.
So it's very clear, like your minimum wage as a driver, it's very clear. For this type of the truck, you will get that kind of money, and then it grows with experience. So as I have already like 16 or 18 years or whatever of experience of driving a lorry, my minimum wage now is something around 17 euros something. Like I cannot legally be paid less for driving an Arctic. And I mean European Arctic, because if I drove the Scandi truck, I would be paid more. And then if I went into HCT, so double trailers, for example, I will get some 5% on top of that. And there's like additions for everything. Overtime is paid well. And then you even got some money for washing up your work clothes.
Yeah.
You got this addition on your pay slip. And then the overnight allowances are really decent. And if you work over 10 hours per day, you got lunch money, which is like 11 or whatever euros now. So the trade unions take care of you and you can see it. And it hurts me to see how much suffering is in British industry, what people are ready to endure because they cannot get together and work. And if some people get together and go on strike, like tanker drivers, instead of supporting them, everybody is angry at them. So there's no solidarity.
No, definitely not. And I mean, we do still have trade unions, as you know, but they're just completely powerless. As you know, there's no voice for drivers out there whatsoever, you know, or hauliers themselves, like the RHA, the FTA, or logistics, or whatever they're called. None of them are any good whatsoever. We're just completely on our own, and we're just stuffed, really, aren't we? We can't fight our corner because no one's prepared to put their head over the parapet and speak for us, which is a shame. But that's sadly how it's been let to happen.
Yeah. Well, I also have to mention, because like to be clear, so I cannot be paid less than this when I'm working for a transport company. But as this job that I briefly had before my accident was with a removal company, company has other like trade union and they got different agreements.
Oh, okay.
So my salary would be slightly less, but then they pay you more overnight allowance and everything. So as I said, there's no one rule for everybody. Like every industry has their own rules and their own rates and everything.
Yeah, fair enough. So when you said, you know, this was like a standard European Arctic, then you've got the Scandinavian combinations, of which there's quite a few sort of different variations. Now, you don't actually have to do an additional test to drive them, do you? But I presume you just get some training before you are given the keys as such.
Not as far as I know, no, but the fact that I've been not driving the longer ones is a difficult aspect for me when I'm looking for work. Although I used to drive wagon and trucks, that's what I passed my test on.
Yeah.
in Poland, and that's something that is valued here because they see that I'm not only familiar with Arctics, but I know also the vehicles that are different.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you drive wagon and jack, then you're probably just used to it that your trailer is a bit longer. And those trailers can be really long. So
yeah.
In LTP, they got this trailer. That trailer only is 18 meters or something.
Wow.
So you got like your standard six-wheeler, and then you got this 18-meter long trailer. And then there's this other company, Makela. They got like eight-wheeler rigids, and
yeah,
they told us trailers, and they are like double-decker fridges, like 4.5 meter high or whatever. They take like 110 pallets or whatever. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And like the amount of combinations,
yeah,
like variants, axle spreads, it's just crazy. You see so like weird constructions here. You can see like B-links or double B-links or B-link that is towing another trailer on the dolly. You know, it's a paradise of truck spotters, really.
Oh, it is.
There's so much different things. And I have to say, they drive everywhere. I live in a small, like quiet neighborhood.
Yeah.
And this 25 meters rig, like rigid with a standard trailer on the dolly, is regularly like driving around my under my window to my local Lidl.
Crikey.
So they do drive in the like everywhere.
Yeah.
Although,
wow.
On the other hand, the roads here are much wider. I remember when I was on this introduction week with Kia.
Yeah.
And we were going to one warehouse when you had to go through some roadworks, and there were these narrow bits of roads with some concrete barriers and everything. So
yeah.
I got her scared because, you know, after so many years of driving in Scottish Highlands, I'd be just driving with like inches from my mirrors.
Yeah.
And at one point she even like screamed and like put her legs up because she got so scared. Because, you know, they are so spoiled for space. Like when I was like watching her reversing, which was also funky because I came here after driving mostly wagon and jacks.
Yeah.
And just the tankers, which were quite shorter.
Yeah.
And then I was doing like mostly trunking jobs, so I wasn't doing much reversing to the bay and everything. And she came to this semi-trailer from those long Scandinavian rigs. So
yes,
she was also not familiar. She was complaining all the time. This is like too short and it's like brakes in wrong place and everything. But she's so spoiled for space. And I had to show her like how to jackknife the truck to get into the narrow bay on this place with all these roadworks, because whenever you go to this depot, you can like basically do like eights at 40 kilometers per hour and you still won't run out of space. They are so huge.
Wow. Yeah, some we can only dream of over here, as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, flipping heck. So the plan is obviously to find a job, although by the sound of it, there's quite a lot of, which again, to British ears, is quite surprising really. If you hear there's an awful lot of unemployed truck drivers looking for work, you know, sort of almost the opposite of what we've got here, really, isn't it?
Well, you have to remember, like, Finland is a really small country, you know,
yes,
it has less people than Scotland.
Yeah.
And it's also pretty isolated, so there's little international traffic. A lot of stuff is coming just as unaccompanied trailers on the ferries.
Yeah.
The border with Russia is closed, and the business is not picking up that way anytime soon.
Yeah.
And most of the traffic, you know, most of the population live like Helsinki, Turku, Tampere, Triangle. And then if you go north, it's just vast emptiness.
Forest.
So
yeah.
So the market is really narrow. I found myself that even though I apply to companies that are like 2 hours drive from Helsinki, I applied to most of them already because there's so little of them.
Yeah.
But also the economy is not doing great because there was this like right-wing government, like right-wing for Finnish standards. You know, it's nothing close to what you have in Britain or what we have in Poland.
Yeah.
But their changes turned out to be not surprisingly to me, not very good for economy.
Yeah.
So that's why there's this very high unemployment rates now.
Right.
So I'm looking here if not, I have some contacts in Norway. So
okay,
maybe I try to get some job in Norway, although Norway currency is now cheap. So I heard it's not so beneficial as it used to be. As I like already looked into that, I would probably, after offsetting my trips, I would end up making the same money as I would if I had a job in Finland. So
right, okay, yeah. So, but at least you'll be earning some money. That's the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Because this very generous unemployment benefit that I got from trade union has already expired because I used it when I was on my Finnish course. So now I'm down to this state benefits, which are much lower. When I was on this trade union benefits, I had for a day more than in Scotland you would have as an employment person for a week, to give you some numbers, and now I'm to like 600 something euros per month, so I really urgently need a job.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, if there's any Finnish hauliers out there listening to this, because you never know, do you? Please get in contact. We've got a keen and willing driver here.
Yeah, and I really enjoy, and I want to learn Finnish, and I want to go and see new places. So
yeah, excellent. Well, I think that's just about wraps it up, doesn't it, Thomas? I think as to where we are now.
Think I hope it was interesting for you.
Oh, definitely, yeah, 100%. So, yeah,
I cannot share too much about like driving in Finland yet because the furthest I've been was Nokia, which is basically on the outskirts of Tampere.
Yes,
all the places you've been, I bet you've drove more in Finland than I did, but I do have some insight into how the work market looks like, and yes, I'm really impressed so far. And as you said, Helsinki is a beautiful city.
Yes,
it's fantastic to live. And if I can mention something which is not truck related, but
of course,
I just really want to share that Helsinki is a cyclist paradise, and I'm joking enough. It's like the network of bike paths is so beautiful, and they are completely separate from the roads. They are not just like this painted gutters along the road when you drive next to the cars. Of course, there are some like that too, but they usually go some back streets through the parks, along the train tracks. I live exactly 10 kilometers from the main train station by bike.
Yeah.
And I can jump on my bike at home and cycle to this Rauta Tientori, the market, like the square in front of the train station.
Yeah.
And I will cross the path of vehicles only once.
Wow.
There will be tunnels, bridges.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fantastic. So I barely drive my car here. I've been to the city center three times because the public transport is also wonderful.
Yes.
And that's also, I guess, the other reason why you can feel safe sending these big lorries into the city. Of course, they are not allowed to go into the strict city center of Helsinki, but for the most part, they drive pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
And you can feel safe because, you know, your children are cycling on the safe, separated cycle paths or go on the bus. And yes, everything works here, and I really like it.
Yeah.
People ask me often, what do I think, why Finland is so happy country in all these articles we always like read, like Finland chosen to be the happiest country in the world for 7th year in a row or something.
Yeah.
It's not that everybody here drives a Bentley and has a yacht in Monaco. It's those little things that stuff just works here and works it well. You get out 8 in the morning or 7 in the morning as my girlfriend walks to work. You go on the pavement in front of your house and the road is clear, the pavement is clear, small alleys in our like housing estates are clear and everything is gridded and you can walk safely to work.
Perfect.
People don't dress warmly even if it's really cold, and you see this lightly dressed people on the bus stop because they can trust that the bus will come.
Yeah.
The bus is supposed to be here in 3 minutes.
And it will be.
I will just go in my light jacket and it will be here in 3 minutes. So this is the reason why it's so a good quality of life here. The little things.
Yeah, you're really making me miss Finland, I have to say.
You have to come, you're always welcome.
I will.
That's, yeah.
I must do a return trip to Finland, definitely. Yeah. Fantastic. Right, well, we're just about out of time now, Thomas. So thank you ever so much for the talk. It's been lovely to catch up with you. And
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, not a problem. And perhaps once you've found a job and got a bit more driving experience in Finland, we'll catch up with you again and see how it's been going.
Yeah, why not? I'll be happy to.
All right, mate. Well, safe travels and all the best for the job search. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. Same to you.
Lovely. Thanks a lot, mate. Ciao. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, sponsored by Fortune Tires. Fortune Tires and International Tires, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.